Turn to Psalm 104 as the children are dismissed to Children's Church. Psalm 104 and verse 31. Psalm 104, verse 31, but I'm going to begin by reading in Genesis 22, just a couple verses, Genesis 22, verse 7. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham, his father, and said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them together. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Verse 17, God says, "In blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thee, thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." And then Psalm 104 and verse 31. "The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Would you stand with me as I pray? Let's stand together and look to the Lord if you are able to. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time together and singing these songs of praise in fellowship together, and now in considering the Word of God together. We know your Word is forever. It will never pass away. It will never be changed. It shall endure forever. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. May it pierce our hearts today. We are to desire the Word of God as newborn babes desire milk. I pray, Lord, that the Word today would have free course and be glorified. I pray you would strengthen me and help me to make it clear, Lord, and to speak clearly in a way that things can be understood. But above all, I pray the Holy Spirit would take the Word and apply it to each of our hearts where our need is, Lord. You know our need. You know where we've gone astray. You know where we've sinned against you. You know the need that we may have to repent and seek your cleansing, Lord. We may need to come and confess to you that which is not right in our hearts. I pray we just try to do business with the Lord today, and we need your Holy Spirit to help us to do that. Young or old, Lord, help us. Help us all. So be near to us. May your name be glorified, lifted up. We thank you again for the opportunity now. What a privilege to have an open Bible in our laps this morning that we may drink from the milk of your word and feast upon the meat of your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, we're getting back to talking about the providence of God. It's been a couple weeks here. We had Father's Day, and then we had Richard Deal play the piano for us, which was a blessing to us. But by way of review, the providence of God, we've already noted that there are a number of definitions of the providence of God. I like these. The providence of God is that all things are sustained, directed, and controlled by God. All things are sustained, directed, and controlled by God. Why? Because God is sovereign. God is all-powerful, all-wise, all-knowing, and he works through his word, through circumstances, through whatever means he chooses. So all things are sustained, directed, and controlled by God. Another one, he preserves and governs all things and directs them all to their ends for his own glory. He preserves and he governs. He maintains and he directs or moves everything to their appointed ends for your good, for his glory. Another statement is providence of God is God's gracious oversight of the universe. I like that. I can almost remember that one. God graciously oversees the universe. The word providence are two words, pro-video. Pro-video, it means to see, or to see beforehand. He sees before what we need and he provides. He foresees and determines what will come to pass because God is king over everything, doing just what he wills. He preserves and he governs. He preserves and governs. The passage I read in Genesis, when Abraham was commanded by God to take Isaac, his only son, the son of faith, the son of the promise, and offer him, slay him, and offer him as a burnt offering upon Mount Moriah. And Isaac said, "Father, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And what was Abraham's response in Genesis 22:8? God will provide himself a lamb. That word provide, providio, providence. God will see to it, literally is what that means. And I love that truth. God will see to it that we have a lamb. God's going to see to it. God's going to provide. God in his providence, and Abraham was convinced of that, because he was convinced that if they slew Isaac, God would raise him up from the dead, I believe. So God will see to it. And then in chapter 22:14, in the mount of the Lord, it will be seen to. It will be seen to. In other words, God will see to it that his child is provided for, and God will see to it that he is blessed. Because then in verse 17, he said, "In blessing I will bless thee, and I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven." And God will see to it that you and I are blessed. We looked at various ways that providence works. We saw he works through preemptive disease. Preemptive disease. In Genesis 12:17, the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house because of Sarah. When Abraham lied and told Sarah, "Tell him that you're my sister, not my wife," because and she was, but she was his half-sister, right? But yet the Lord in his providence brought disease upon Pharaoh so that he wouldn't touch Sarah. He works in his providence by restraining us from sinning. In Genesis 26, concerning Abimelech, God said, "I withheld thee from sinning against me." Okay? Abimelech was saying, "God, I didn't know." And God says, "Yeah, I know, and I withheld you from sinning." He also uses barrenness and pregnancy. In Genesis 20:17, God healed Abimelech and his wife, and they bear children. He brings about conception. In Genesis 25:21, Isaac entreated the Lord, and Rebekah conceived. Sometimes people suffer innocently for the greater good. Joseph, in Genesis 45:7, he said, "God sent me before you to preserve you alive." God allows appointment even of secular government leaders. He will put in place pagan leaders to accomplish his will, as we read of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 2:21 and Daniel 4:17, where it says he removes kings and he sets up kings and he gives the kingdoms to whomsoever he will. And then we also noted that in his providence that the weather, animal behavior, and plant development are also involved in God's providence. So we saw God bringing a storm at Challenge Christian Camp Thursday night. My, we had a storm. We had storms all night long. God in his providence was in the storm. That was in Camp Quaker Haven, just about 2 miles from Arkansas City, Ark City. We're 2 miles north of the Oklahoma border, in the middle of the woods, right on the Arkansas River, or Arkansas River if you're from way down there. But it thundered and it lightened and it rained, starting Thursday afternoon. And then at night, it thundered and the lightning and the rain. I don't know how many kids stayed up all night because they're scared to death of storms. I had two or three kids come up to me and said, are we going to go in the shelter? Because there's a tornado coming and the sirens are going off. There's no tornado. There were no sirens going off. But in their mind, it was. But anyway, all night long, you could see lightning through the window. And it just always, you think, God's in control. This is God's storm. This is God speaking to us. Sometimes we think of how the God's wrath when we hear the thunder and see the lightning. And we ought to. It is a reminder of his power and of his wrath. But we also ought to think of his grace and mercy. So God controls the weather, animal behavior, plant development. We saw that in the book of Jonah. We talked about the preserving providence of God. God preserves all things. And we ask, how involved is God in maintaining and governing things? Well, God didn't just wind up the universe and then let it go. He is actively involved in every aspect of creation, and he's actively involved in every single aspect of your life. He is. He is. He is. He's involved. You can get infection in your ear, and you can die from that. Well, if you die from that, you say, well, that was God's plan. Well, then evidently God's plan was to allow you to get infection in your ear. And evidently God was in control of that bacteria that got in your ear and grew. God's in control. God's involved. I say that because that happened to me. I got infection in my ear. On the side, I had surgery, and I had to have my eardrum replaced. I had surgery, and my surgeon said, we got to take care of that. You got to take care of that ear because you were getting infection in there, and you could have got colostomatoma. And you were getting colostomatoma, and that can get in your brain. And I know of people that have died from that. When your ear specialist looks at you and tells you you can die from that, you take it seriously, and then you do the drops that he tells you. But I think about little things like that, little bacteria. This is God. God's involved in that. He's involved in every aspect of our lives, every aspect of creation. The psalmist said in Psalm 3, verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awaked. Why? For the Lord sustained me. I went to bed. I fell asleep. That's God doing that. My ability to go to sleep at night is God working in my life. When I wake up in the morning, God wakes me up. God allows me to be awake through the day. Well, until I fall asleep again, take a nap. And that's God's will too, you know. But the Lord sustained me. He's not some distant God who is indifferent to our needs and activities. He's not the man upstairs, right? Or the old man upstairs. Don't speak in such blasphemous ways of our God. We read in Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being. In other words, we live and move and are. We exist because of him. You know, we take about 7 million breaths a year. 7 million a year. Some 6,500,000, some 7,250,000. But about 7 million breaths a year. And God gives us each one of those 7 million. Job 12:10, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Your very breath is in his hand. Daniel 5:23, the God in whose hand thy breath is. Also, Acts 17:25, he gives to all life and breath and all things. Matthew 10:30, the very hairs of your head are all number. And so God knows and cares about every single one of your troubles, struggles, trials, heartaches, headaches, backaches. He knows all. He remembers we're but dust, but is so gracious and merciful. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're but dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As the flower of the grass, he withereth away, right? But the mercy of the Lord endures forever. Something like that in Psalm 103. And so God knows and cares about our struggles and troubles. God's preserving providence over creation. We looked at that in 1 Chronicles 29, 12. Did I say 1 Chronicles or 1 Chronicles? I like Chronicles. I've been Gomer Pyle. Hey, Lord. Both 1 Chronicles 29, 12, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. God's maintenance and governance and preservation reaches into every nook and cranny of the universe, and it extends to every single living thing, every process, every cycle, every part of his creation. We noted that God sustains angels. Nehemiah 9:6, thou preservest them all and the hosts of heaven. God preserves the hosts of heaven, the angels. Secondly, God sustains the cosmos, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Psalm 104:2. God conserves nature. Psalm 65, he waters the earth. God maintains plants and animals, and God preserves life. Psalm 36:6, O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. Look again at Psalm 104, and this is a psalm on God's preserving providence over all creation. It's a beautiful declaration of how God preserves and maintains his creation. Psalm 104, bless the Lord, O my soul, O my Lord, O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty. And then he begins to describe in poetic form how God created the universe that we read about in Genesis 1. And then we go on in verse 10, he sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. Okay, what happened? We have springs, the springs run into the valleys, and they run in the rivers and so on. Some of you have springs in your pasture, or you, when growing up, you remember going to that spring. I remember springs when I was a little kid in a pasture we had, and you can drink that water just coming right out of the hill. You know, God does that. He sends springs into the valleys. Verse 11, they give drink to every beast of the field. What does? Those springs that God sends gives drink. God quenches the thirst of every animal, every wild animal, and even your dog. God gives them drink. By them shall the fowls, wait a minute, they give drink to every beast in the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. Wow, God takes care of the birds, right? The fowls of heaven. He waters the hills from its chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. Verse 14, he, notice all these, he. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. Now, we say, okay, I know what causes grass to grow and plants to grow. You need water, you need nutrients, dirt, there's nutrients, there's nitrogen and potassium and phosphorus and whatever else that the plant needs in those nutrients. And that's what makes plants grow, water, nutrients, air, light, temperature, space, and time. And the plants use water to carry the nutrients to the leaves. So the roots get the water, and the water somehow goes up those plants to the leaves, right? How's that happen? God does it. God does it. God causes the plants, the grass to grow for the cattle. And he makes that grass grow to feed the cattle. That's why we have grass, so the cattle can be fed, right? And the beasts that are grass-eating beasts can be fed. And he brings forth food out of the earth, right? So he causes the grass to grow for the cattle, the herb for the service of men. Many of us enjoy herbs, right? Or herbs. You can say herb, by the way. Look it up, and it's correct to pronounce it herb or herb. I prefer herb, but whenever I meet herb, I like herb, okay? And you can say often or often, and our language is kind of weird like that. I think you can say weird. And he does that, why? For your enjoyment, to serve you, that you can benefit. And you that are into herbal medicines, you benefit from that if they work. And some of them may work, I don't know. And verse 15, and the wine that makes glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, whereof the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. Did you know that? That God made the trees so the birds would have a place to land? Because they don't want to land on the ground unless they're ostriches or something. They want to land in the trees, right? Well, what happened? God said, I'll make trees so the birds can sit in them and roost in them and build their nests in them, right? God did that. That's beautiful. The high hills are a refuge, verse 18. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. And by the way, he gives those wild goats the ability to run around the rocks like they were running around in the meadow or something. It's amazing. He appointed the moon for the seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep. In other words, he made animals nocturnal, many animals nocturnal. They come out at night. And so you go hunting for raccoons in the middle of the night, right? And whatever else you go hunting for, then they're nocturnal. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. God does it all. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor till the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea wherein are things creeping innumerable. How many creatures are in the sea? Do they even know? They're still discovering them down in the dark depths of the sea. There are things that they don't even know exist yet. They're innumerable. You can't number them, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. Sea monster, some believe, speaks of a dinosaur. Some kind of dinosaur that lived in the sea. These all wait upon thee, that thou mayest give them meat in due season, that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, and they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die, and return unto their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. Thou renewest the face of the earth. And then what we read to begin with, the glory of the Lord shall sing forever. Verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to my God. Verse 34, I will be glad in the Lord. All this ought to make us glad. So from this beautiful psalm, we learn that God sends the springs into the valleys to refresh his creatures, verses 10 to 12. God waters the hills from its chambers to make the earth fruitful. God causes the grass to grow for grazing animals and vegetation for man's sustenance and pleasure. God plants trees for the birds to nest in. God appointed the times and the seasons for the moon and the sun, verse 19, God makes the darkness, God feeds the animal, God gives and takes away the breath of all his creatures. Wow, our God is great. Our God is wonderful. I enjoy our God, and I'm going to enjoy him forever, and you are too if you know him. And it is so simple and so marvelous and so mind-boggling, and yet we tend to outgrow, if you will, these amazing, comforting, life-changing truths. You see, our children have no trouble believing that God plants the trees for the birds to build their nests. But we have to make it more complicated. Well, trees are there for more reasons than that. Yeah, birds happen to have figured out that they can build their nests there. No, we just read that God makes the trees for the birds to build their nests and to live in. We have to make it more complicated. We struggle with accepting these facts as facts and resting in them, relaxing in them, reclining in these great truths that are screaming at us in every possible way to tell us that God is governing, empowering, providing, sustaining every single molecule in his universe, from the sand on the seashore, to the stars in the sky, to the worm in the ground, to the child who is playing in the dirt. And we can put our trust in such a gracious, sovereign God, and we must, because where else are you going to put your faith? Evolution? Man's wisdom? Good luck with that, right? Not too wise. Let's look at some New Testament passages on God's preserving providence. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians 1:15 speaks of Christ as the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Verse 16, for by him, Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. They are created by him, but you know that every bird, every tree, every plant, every fish was created for him too, for his glory, for his joy. And he is before him, before all things, and by him all things consist. That's a great truth. By him all things consist. Whatever the word consist means, we know that it applies to all things. And those two words, all things, includes all things. What does it mean, all things? All things would mean everything there is. And that would mean that there is nothing that exists that is not included. You cannot think of a thing that is not included except maybe sin. Sin. God is not the author of sin. But amazingly, he will use sin to accomplish his purpose. This word consist means stand together or hold together. It was used of a standing army or an army held together rank on rank solely by the ordering of the commanding officers. It's like God orders it to be so. He orders everything to be in the proper place, to hold together. And so what we can safely and correctly say is that this verse means nothing less than that Christ is the principal cohesion in the universe, making it a cosmos rather than chaos. In fact, you look up the word cosmos, it's defined as being the opposite of chaos. It is order. Our universe is a universe of order. And order can only come from a creator, our God. And he simply holds it all together and moves it all forward from the largest of the planetary bodies to the smallest particles of the earth. Everything was brought together by him, and everything is held together by him. Nothing can continue to exist apart from his cohesive power. Now, how does he do it? How does he hold it all together? By the way, he holds you together too. I know, you say, I'm falling apart. Well, yeah, we're falling apart in our minds, but God holds us together. We're not falling apart as much as we think. But if we are falling apart mentally, spiritually, emotionally, only God's going to be able to hold us together. And he will. He will if I get in line with him. If I get connected to him again, and if I'm falling apart, it's because I'm being disconnected from him. Okay? Well, how does he do it? Hebrews 1. Let me read Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3. You may turn there if you like. Hebrews 1, 1 to 3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He, our Savior, is upholding all things. How? By the word of his power. By the word of his power. The same word that said, you must be born again. The same word that says, you are kept by the power of God. The same word that says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and so on and so on. Upholding all things by the word of his power. Again, whatever this word upholding means, we know that it involves all things. And what does all things mean? It means all. It means all things. All things, everything. No thing is left out. There is not a thing that is left out. Upholding is a word that has the idea of carrying, bearing, like the image of Atlas standing and holding the weight of the universe. The weight of the universe. The ancient Greek Titan, god of endurance, upholding the sky. It was the idea of Atlas is being punished by having to hold up the sky for all eternity in Greek mythology. So it's like he's bearing the world, but it really isn't quite accurate because this word, it also involves movement. God isn't just holding it up, he is carrying it forward to accomplish his will to the destination of his choosing. He holds up, he bears along all things, and he does it by the word of his power. The same word by which he spoke the worlds into existence when he said in Genesis 1, let there be light, and there was light. When he spoke the word, light came. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, Hebrews 11, 3. 2 Peter 3, 5, for this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. So he created it, he holds it all together, and he carries it all forward by the word of his power. All of creation continually exists, coheres, and is carried on towards its appointed goal by the ongoing, active, preserving providence of God, exercised in Jesus Christ, his omnipotent word. It is Christ who is preeminent in all this. Yes, the very one who went about doing good, the very one who touched the leper and healed him, the very one who called his disciples, the very one who loved us and gave himself for us and allowed wicked sinners to nail him to the cross. Christ is all in all. And this work of preserving providence over all creation is through the eternal Son. One of our great hymns is, Fairest Lord Jesus, Ruler of all nature, we sing. Fairest Lord Jesus, Ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Christ is a creator, sustainer, the very center, the very apex of the universe. He is upholding all things by the word of his power, Hebrews 1:3. So all creatures, all creation, which is created and sustained by him, will one day bow before him and finally give him the honor which is due his name. Psalm 97:1, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. You and I can rejoice. We look around us and we get discouraged. Sometimes we throw up our hands in despair we need not despair. The Lord reigns, and we can rejoice in that. In Philippians 2, 9 to 11, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him, Jesus, a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Every knee will bow, but every knee should bow today. Is your knee bowing? Have you bowed before him? Do you bow before him when you pray? Have you bowed before him to receive him as your Savior from sin? Has there ever been a time in your life where you trusted Christ as your Savior? Where you made a commitment, you said, Lord, I now trust you as my Savior. I give my life to you. I pray that you'll come into my life and save me. Have you done that? Have you bowed before him? Every knee should bow, things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We need to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. If you shall confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Isaiah 45:23, God said, unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. We may refuse to submit to him now. We may neglect him and think lightly of him now, but there is a time coming. If I neglect him now, I will be forced to acknowledge him then. How much better to willingly and lovingly surrender to him today. And may you who are far from him embrace him with all your heart. Take him as your Savior, your sustainer, your God, and allow him to make your needy, sinful soul right with him, accepted in him. All you got to do is respond to his call. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else. Isaiah 45:22. Let's honor, let's serve, and adore this great God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ now, because we are quickly moving into the realm of then. And God has only given us now. And now is quickly leaving us, isn't it? Now is the time to do right, live right, and give our lives to him. Psalm 66:8. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And then James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. James 4:14. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. What will you do with Jesus now? Not tomorrow, not a year from now, not 10 years from now. You may be in the grave by tomorrow. Now is the time. Now is the only opportunity. What will you do now to serve this great God who is involved in every aspect of our lives? Will you pray? Will you trust him? Will you give your heart to him? Let's bow before him in prayer. Our Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these great truths. There's so many other scriptures we can look at, Lord, that speak of your glory, your power, your love. I thank you, Lord, that in the midst of this sovereign power that we see displayed in the word and all around us, there is grace. There's love, there's mercy, long-suffering, forbearance, compassion. And I thank thee, Lord, that you are a God of compassion and you stand ready to forgive and cleanse any of us who will come with any need. For if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we come to you now, Lord, and I pray you will cleanse us. That one this morning who may be battling sin in his life or her life, I pray they would give that to you, Lord, and seek cleansing that you will so readily and eagerly give to the soul that seeks you and trusts you. Thank you, Lord, that you will do as you promise. Have your way now as we close. We give ourselves to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.